Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. Hey, everyone. Welcome back. It's finally cooling off slightly. But at the JE, we're still hot with Jewish excitement. Hi, I'm Hirsch DeLynn, your host. You are tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. Parsha this week is Re'eh. Here's where Moses lays it down clearly. A blessing and a curse. A blessing if the people follow God's commandments, and a curse if they don't. Not a lot of wiggle room here. Also, here's where God warns the Jewish people about false prophets who dream dreams and tell the people to follow ways not given to them by God. They're told to destroy the false prophets and put away evil from their midst. And with the opposite of evil, of course, being justice or tzedek, the mitzvah of charity, tzedakah, is commanded here as well. The sabbatical year where all land is returned to its original owner is described. And, finally, the pilgrimage festivals of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos are commanded. And speaking of commanding, our staff is ready to command and in command and ready to give you the best in Jewish radio with Musical Moish, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, and Ms. Devorah DeLynn. So, sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in Pennsylvania. Of course, we'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs, along with current news fresh from Israel National Radio coming up in the half hour. And if you haven't sponsored a segment yet, please step up and do so now. We want to continue to bring you the best and only authentic Jewish radio in Pittsburgh, but we must have your support. If everyone helps a little, nobody has to help a lot. Call us and get the mitzvah today and be ready for the high holidays. 412-979-5770. Or just drop us a line at jewishexperience@verizon.net. Consider sponsoring your favorite segment. Rabbi Goldwasser's Torah lesson and his popular story segment is now available. Community news and announcements, popular feminine perspective, and Rabbi Eisen's moment in Jewish history is also available. So you can call right now and reserve your spot. As always, we thank our regular sponsors, Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, Pittsburgh Simcha Orchestra, led by our own Musical Moishe, and Artistic Photography. And don't forget to ask for a special gift of a beautiful refrigerator magnet that is yours free when you call us at 412-979-5770. Or you can send us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week is 8.06 p.m. So sit back and enjoy the best Jewish music. Isn't that right, Moishe?
Well, a good afternoon and a good near Shabbos to all you listeners out there. I'm Moishe Pekar, your musical maven, bringing you your favorite selections as you tap around on a Friday afternoon. Boy, is it hot out there. Well, let's get you started and in the mood. Here's Salel V'Zimra Boys Choir. This one's entitled Yiboneh, because you're tuned in and good to go, if you keep it right here on the J.E.
1, 2...
Now with an insight on this week's Parsha is our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
In this week's Parsha, the Torah tells us, you shall rejoice before Hashem your God, you, your son, your daughter, your servant, your maidservant, and the Levi from your settlements, the convert, the orphan, and the widow among you. In this pasuk, the Torah instructs us to rejoice with 8 categories of people. Rashi seems to have a different approach to understanding this pasuk. While there are 8 people mentioned, he divides them into 2 groups of 4 each. Hashem says, the Levi, the convert, the widow and the orphan, these 4 are mine. They correspond to the 4 types of people that are yours, your son, your daughter, your servant, and your maidservant. If you will bring joy to mine, then I will bring joy to yours. From here we see that mankind falls into 2 distinct groups, Hashem's people and our people. Hashem assures us that if we provide for His people, He will in turn address the needs of our people. If we help others, Hashem then helps us. We learn in Pirkei Avos, Da my lamailo mimoch, a person should know and recognize what is above him, an eye that sees, an ear that hears. If he will always remember that, he will not come to sin. The Baal Shem Tov explained it in an additional way. Da, you must know, malamaila mimoch, what is decreed upon you from above is many times mimoch, dependent on how you act. Hashem sees how you act and then decides how to act towards you. If a person is always forbearing, and when people wrong him, he is quick to forgive them, then when we, chas v'shalom, do something that is not proper, Hashem is quick to forgive us as well when we ask for forgiveness. However, if when someone wrongs us, we bear a grudge and we do not want to accept their plea for forgiveness, then when we ask Hashem to forgive us for things that we do, Hashem first considers the fact how we acted towards others.
Mama, me,
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now for the forward, 800-992-3333. That's 800-992-3333. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time. And it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort. And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600.
Well, we got you up and bouncing around the kitchen there. So now let's slow things down with a little music to soothe you on a Friday afternoon.
Shabbos.
now it's time for A Moment in Jewish History with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
For 1,000 years, from 2,448 to 3,448, prophecy was highly prevalent among the Jewish people. During this time, there were more than 1 million prophets, both men and women. Nevertheless, only prophecies necessary for all time were transmitted, from 48 men and 7 women. A person could only become a prophet if he or she was of great intellectual stature and was recognized by his or her generation as being extremely righteous. To this end, the Great Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court, comprised of the 71 greatest Torah scholars of the Jewish people, subjected people who claimed to have had prophetic revelations to a rigorous examination process. In accordance with Torah law, charlatans were executed, thus preventing many impostors from arising. Once a prophet was certified as true, all his words had to be heeded. If it was necessary, the prophet was even permitted to suspend a Torah law temporarily, with the exception of idolatry. In a contest with the Baal priests to prove them wrong, Eliyahu, for example, offered a sacrifice outside the temple, an act ordinarily forbidden. All told, a prophet's main function was to make the people aware of their faults and the future consequences of their actions. He also anointed kings and prophetically advised monarchs on such matters as going to war and forging alliances. In addition, the prophets played a major role in transmitting Torah from generation to generation. This aspect, however, was due to their being the leading Torah scholars of the Sanhedrin, and not specifically because they were prophets, for a prophet was not permitted to decide Torah law through prophecy. With the passing of the prophet Malachi in 3448, the 1,000-year era of highly prevalent prophecy came to a close. Two factors caused this cessation. First, the Jewish people were not on the exalted spiritual level required for prevalent prophets. Second, prophecy functions in Eretz Yisrael and in exceptional circumstances elsewhere, and most Jews now lived outside the land. However, the Jewish people were not bereft of spiritual leadership. God would continue to guide Torah leaders, albeit in a more indirect manner.
Now, from the Israel National Radio Newsroom, here's Ernie Singer.
A terrorist has been killed near a building owned by the Ateret Kohanim Yeshiva in the Christian quarter of Jerusalem's Old City after apparently shooting and grabbing a gun from a yeshiva security guard, according to preliminary reports late Friday morning. Jerusalem Region Police Chief Ilan Franco says another security guard shot the terrorist. Most of the 9 other victims receiving treatment at various Jerusalem hospitals for light wounds in the exchange of shots, 3 people reportedly suffering moderate wounds. Defense Minister Ehud Barak expects that reaching an agreement with the PLO will take 3 to 5 years, so Israel will not withdraw from Judea and Samaria any sooner than that. According to the Yediot Ahronot Daily, Barak has said in private conversations that Israel will not pull back from Judea and Samaria before it has an anti-rocket system in place, and this too will take 3 to 5 years. In addition, the former prime minister says that he will not remove roadblocks in Judea and Samaria, despite current Prime Minister Ehud Olmert's promise to PLO Chairman Mahmoud Abbas to do so. The defense minister is quoted as saying, Olmert's meetings with Abbas will not lead to a peace treaty. Barak thinks Prime Minister Olmert's attempts to restart a diplomatic process is, in his words, all packaging, air, atmosphere, if you will. That is all. Adding that Israelis have a healthy intuition, you can't feed them fantasies about an imminent deal with the Palestinians anymore. During a discussion with Labor Party functionaries, Barak saying that Fatah leaders had to be strengthened against Hamas and denying that he said there was no difference between the two terror groups. Despite pressure from a bulging American budget deficit, officials in the United States are close to signing a $30 billion arms deal with Israel. However, the U.S. has asked the Olmert administration to explain why it needs advance money for the new proposed American aid, and completion of the 10-year program has been delayed until Israel explains how the funds will be used. The extra American aid is designed to help Israel meet the growing threat from Iran. In addition, the Bush administration has proposed $20 billion in weapons for Saudi Arabia and $13 billion for Egypt. Israel and India are considering the joint development of an unmanned combat helicopter, according to Indian news media. Outgoing Israeli Navy Commander David Ben-Besht visited New Delhi this past week and conducted talks on the matter. Defense-related ties between Israel and India have reportedly grown tighter lately. The Israel aerospace industry is negotiating with India about the development of an aerial defense system at a cost of over $1.5 billion. Some Fatah leaders have backed a move by Yemen to bring back the Fatah-Hamas unity government, but PLO Chairman Mahmoud Abbas, fearing repercussions from the United States, has rejected the initiative. Egyptian President Mohammed Hosni Mubarak and other Arab nations have urged Arabs to accept the proposal. They have stated that no agreement on a new Arab state can be accomplished without the inclusion of the Gaza area where Hamas has ruled since its military takeover 2 months ago. Abbas not ruling out talking with Hamas, but saying that the rival terrorist faction first must revert to the political situation that existed before its coup. Egypt is refusing to send its security delegation back to Gaza in order to renew mediation between Israel and terrorist groups regarding abducted Israeli Army Corporal Gilad Shalit, despite Israeli requests that it do so, according to the London-based Arabic daily Al-Hayat. The Egyptians telling Ofer Dekel, an emissary sent to Egypt by Prime Minister Olmert, that they do not intend to return to Gaza until things go back to the way they were, to use their words, presumably meaning that Hamas is overthrown by Fatah. The Egyptians reportedly telling Dekel, the question of the situation in Gaza is more important to us than the question of Gilad Shalit. Defense Minister Barak has demanded that Bar-Ilan University fire Professor Hillel Weiss for cursing Hebron Brigade Commander Yehuda Fuchs during Tuesday's eviction of Jewish families and their supporters from Hebron Shalhevet neighborhood. Walter Bingham was there and presents the dramatic moments Sunday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern time at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Shabbat Kaf Zion, the 27th of Av on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast. Clear to partly cloudy and slightly cooler than normal on Friday with a high wave warning at Mediterranean beaches. Slightly warmer on Shabbat with no significant change on Sunday and Monday. In Jerusalem on Friday, 28 degrees centigrade, 82 Fahrenheit. At the Red Sea and the Dead Sea, 39 degrees centigrade, 102 Fahrenheit. Beersheba, 32 degrees centigrade, 90 Fahrenheit. Haifa, 31 degrees centigrade, 88 Fahrenheit. Tel Aviv, 30 degrees centigrade, 86 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
We want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
And wouldn't you know it, the Mazel Tovs are ramping up this week. Rabbi and Mrs. Aryeh and Chaya Huttman on the birth of a son last Sunday. Mr. and Mrs. Murray and Elvira Pfeiffer, a marriage with their grandchild. Mr. and Mrs. Fishy and Leah Milch, marriage of their son Mordecai to Bessie Cates. And Mr. and Mrs. Morton and Faith Milch on the marriage of their grandson. Mr. and Mrs. Glenn and Ethel Harmon on the bas mitzvah of daughter Rena. And finally, Rabbi and Mrs. Ephraim Rosenblum on the birth of a great-grandson. Mazel tov, mazel tov. And let's take a look around the community a little bit. We have a big event coming up. Dr. Robert Schwartz announces his Holy Eating Introductory Lecture. His single session introductory lecture. Many people have asked him how he shed 45 pounds. Well, until he achieved and maintained the goal, he didn't tell anybody. But now you can find out on Wednesday, August 15th, at between 7 and 8:30 p.m. You can find out what his secret really is. Of course, only spiritual refreshment will be served. And, of course, you want to join him in follow-up sessions. And, of course, Elul is an ideal time to pursue holiness. And eating with holiness is appropriate during the holidays when we tend to eat more than necessary. All sessions will be at 5471 Pecosset Street. It's near Shenley Park. And all are free to the men and women in the community. The community Pirkei Avos classes for women will occur throughout the community at area synagogues. And they're still going on and will go on until Rosh Hashanah in memory of Mrs. Miriam Nadoff. The Jewish Community Day at Kennywood Park coming up Sunday, August 26th. Tickets are available at synagogues and Pinsker's. The meeting of Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous meets every Shari Torah every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Program is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating or their weight. Program is not for women only. Men are invited. For more information, call Elon at 412-422-2224. That's 412-422-2224. Don't forget, if you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, you can do it by calling 412-979-5770, or you can email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. Finally, don't forget, candlelighting time this week is now 8.06 p.m. We'll probably be out of the 8s next week.
Dear Mr. President, as a believer in the Bible, you know that the Jewish people were given the land of Israel not because of a UN declaration, but because of a declaration from God. The Bible says God owns the world. There is room for everyone, but He promised Israel to His chosen people. Hence the name, the Promised Land. As you are aware, Mr. President, the Bible stipulates that the eternal boundaries of this promised land includes everything west of the Jordan River. So to suggest now that a Palestinian state be carved from the West Bank and Gaza, land specifically included in God's promise, is wrong. It's time for America, one nation under God, to support the entire land of Israel. Because the promised land was promised forever. Sincerely yours, believersofthebible.org.
And now, back to the music with Moshe Pekar.
Yashmiyeno v'rachamov l'nei kol chayim. Shieinu, Vigaleinu Sheheini, Veyashmiye.
And if you like what you hear, or you have an idea for selections on a future show, you can email me, Moshe Pekar, at keyplayer@hotmail.com, and we'll try and do it.
Now it's time to take a look at the feminine side of things with the feminine perspective. Here's Miss Devorah DeLynn.
To many Americans these days, it seems that the dollar just doesn't go far enough. Gas prices are skyrocketing, food is getting more and more expensive, and the value of the dollar is decreasing all the time. Part of this has to do with the fact that the only thing that the dollar represents is faith, rather than actual items of value, but it also has to do with people forgetting that politicians work for them, and not the other way around, and they forget to keep constant tabs on what those politicians do. Okay. I didn't mean to get into politics. The point I did want to bring out is this. If you think you're having a tough time compensating for rising prices, imagine the trouble poor people are having to make ends meet. On that note, let's take a look at this week's Parsha, Parshas Re'eh. One of the things Moshe Rabbeinu reminds the Jewish people about is not to take advantage of others and let debts stay until Shemitah year, when all the debts are canceled. One should remember that it is Hashem who checks and balances every account. One should make sure that there are no discrepancies in his. The Lubavitcher Rebbe takes this time to remind everyone about the importance of giving tzedakah, charity. Since God makes sure everyone gets his due, one shouldn't become miserly and stingy. As many artists have depicted in their paintings of fortune on her wheel, nobody's finances are written in stone. As such, the sages compared the mitzvah of tzedakah as equal to all the other commandments put together. In the Jerusalem Talmud, it is referred to simply as the commandment, because it is the greatest of all the practical mitzvos. Giving tzedakah employs the entire body, because it is the fruits of the physical body's toils, and those fruits could have been used on something to enrich the soul, like a sefer. People might try to get out of the mitzvah by saying that they'll use the money for something holy. In truth, their soul would gain a higher elevation through tzedakah. In doing so, he is giving his soul's vitality to Hashem through the poor person, and a poor person is one who is especially protected by him. According to Tractate Yoma, every Jew is commanded to bring vitality and life to his brethren, and tzedakah fills both these needs. In a scientific point of view, the giver shouldn't merely provide vitality, improving life quantitatively, but he should also inject new life into the person receiving, improving life qualitatively. The former can be taken care of very easily. Just the act of giving ensures that the receiver has the means to buy other things. The latter, however, is harder. The mere act of giving is not enough. The person has to feel wholeheartedly involved in the deed and must do so with a cheerful heart. This ensures that the poor person will not look at the things he bought with the tzedakah as something embarrassing. He will view them instead as gifts and be honored to use them. As I'm sure all our listeners are aware, this radio show clearly embodies all that the commandment of tzedakah requires. The men involved spend their time and energy not merely giving the public freely of their knowledge, but they do so with a whole heart and enthusiasm. The fruits of their labor, what you hear every week over the air, has inspired people across the globe, injecting new life into those who would otherwise have gone on unaware. In Torah Or, it says that giving tzedakah causes a person's mind and heart to become refined 1,000 times. This show clearly enriches and refines the hearts and mind of all its listeners. With that being said, please take time to support and become a partner in one of the greatest acts of tzedakah that the community of Pittsburgh has ever experienced. And as always, have a good Shabbos.
Did I like that?
Now it's time for another classic story from our master storyteller, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
Please, Rebbe, you must help me, wept the stricken person before Rav Mordechai. What is your trouble? The kind and patient Rebbe asked sympathetically. I am mortally ill. My doctors say that I do not have long to live. I have consulted the best physicians, but none of them hold out any hope for me. My illness, they say, is incurable. Only you can help me, Rebbe, now that all hope is gone. And have you been to the specialist from Annapolis yet? Asked the Rebbe. The ill man wrinkled his forehead in surprise. Strange, but I never heard of him before. No, I have not been to see him. Well, then, you should go to him at once. With hope rekindled in his heart, the dying man packed a few belongings and went to Annapolis. The journey was long, not at all comfortable, even for a well person. The coach jolted him back and forth. The night lodgings were dirty, and the food they offered skimpy. But the man did not mind. He kept on thinking that his salvation was only 2 days' journey away, then one day away. Finally, he reached the small village of Annapolis. He jumped out of the coach. He already felt better. He grabbed the sleeve of the first passerby and asked, "Can you tell me where the specialist lives?" The man looked at him in bewilderment. "Specialist? Here in Annapolis? There is no specialist living here. You must be mistaken." "There is no mistake. A great man sent me here to consult the specialist about my illness. You are the one who is uninformed." He turned away from the passerby and found another local resident. "Perhaps you can tell me where the specialist of Annapolis lives," he asked. This man looked at him as if he were crazy. "Are you mad? A specialist in this little backwater town? Why, we don't even have our own doctor. Which doctor would want to settle here?" He could not understand it. "But I was told that a famous specialist lived here," he muttered in despair. By now he realized that he was the one who had made the mistake. Still, the Rebbe had told him to come here. There must be some explanation. "Well then, what do you hear when someone becomes ill?" he asked falteringly. "Now, that is a different question altogether," the man said. "If someone falls ill, we pray to Hashem to cure him. It is as simple as that." Crestfallen, the Jew saw that he had nothing to seek here any longer, and took the first coach back to his hometown. He returned to Rav Mordechai and poured out his painful story to him. "There is no specialist in Annapolis," he wept. "There is not even a general practitioner there. My trip was all in vain." The Rebbe raised his eyebrows questioningly. "And what do people do when someone becomes ill? Did you find out?" "Yes," the unhappy Jew replied weakly. "Since they have no doctor, they pray to Hashem to cure them." "Aha," said the Rebbe, "that is the answer. This is the specialist that I wanted you to consult. Hashem, he is the ultimate healer. He is the one to whom you must turn in your suffering and pain, for only he can help you. As it says in the Torah, 'For I am Hashem, your healer.'" Ki ani Hashem rofecha. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser wishing you all a good Shabbos.
And so we come to the close of the third of the 7 weeks of consolation leading up to the new year. A couple of reminders, Dr. Robert Schwartz's Holy Eating Introductory Lecture. And of course, that's Wednesday, August 15th at 7 p.m. You can find out what the secret really is. And, of course, plan to join them in follow-up sessions to really make it worthwhile. All sessions are free, and they're located at 5471 Pecosset Street near Schenley Park. And men and women are invited, so you definitely want to stop by. The community Pirkei Avos classes for women will occur throughout the community at area synagogues. In memory of Mrs. Miriam Nadoff, Jewish Community Day, Kennywood Park, Sunday, August 26, 2007. Meeting of Food Addicts Recovery Anonymous, Shari Torah, Sunday evening, 7 to 8:30. Holy Lawn at 412-422-2224. And don't forget, if you'd like to have your mazel tovs on our program, call us at 412-979-5770 or email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And we hope as the new year, Rosh Chodesh Elul approaches, more spirituality approaches in the new year, and it's time to really get that connection, get close. It says that Hashem is in the field during this time, so go out in the field and get close to the one above and really make it happen. Bring Mashiach Sikenu Akshav right now. And we want to thank, of course, our faithful staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoish.com, Michael Shulman, Ms. Devorah DeLynn, and, of course, our engineer, who's always going to be there, even after Mashiach comes, Jeremy LeBostenstein, for another outstanding show. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week, 8.06 p.m. It's been a ton of fun, but I do have to run. Till next week, I'm Hirsch DeLynn. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat.